Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If it's Monday, it is Maesterclass. If you have a question for Maesterclass, book at baldmove.com. Some of my listener questions are directed at professional medievalists. Other topics we cover relate to crackpot fan theories, my favorite. This week, Podrick McCarran helps me puzzle through this phrase Dany hears about herself in the House of the Undying, that she is the daughter of three. Does that mean she has three parents? So Podrick and I talk this over. I will say up front, it's probably the most likely solution that this is talking about her Targaryen heritage. In other words, Dany is the daughter of the Targaryen legacy in Westeros, which would make her the heir of Aegon, Visenya, and Rhaenys. I think that that's the most likely solution for the title Daughter of Three. But I will say, when I saw that phrase immediately, I thought, does Dany have three parents? And that is what Podrick thought too. And so we explore that very, very unlikely possibility. Okay. Without further ado, from the University of Limerick, here is Dr. Podrick McCarran.
This is irregular.
Yes, well, I suppose that life is irregular.
At the very start, right, they call her child of three. And...
Well, there are several threes in this chapter because the dragon has three heads and, you know.
Three dragons, that. Yes. what was interesting to me was when I first read it, right? And they call her Mother of Dragons, Child of Three, right? And she says three. She did not understand. And then it says three heads, says the dragon. And then it's got like, you know, she's got the three things, like the three loves, the three treacheries, etc.
Yeah.
But when I first read Child of Three, and then whenever, generally in a chapter, when somebody... something cryptic is said and an answer is given immediately, usually a thought of the character, it's nearly always wrong, right?
Oh, and, say more about that. I'm really interested in this.
So like, just in any chapter, when a character is first told something they don't understand, if they say they don't understand, and then usually in that same chapter, they'll think about it and they'll come up with a very simple explanation sometimes, or a very maybe literal explanation. And usually that will be wrong. It'll go to something more more nuanced. I'm kind of thinking it's more with like Melisandre's prophecies, how she always misinterprets them, and then later, or just when prophecies do come true, it's like how often, like I remember reading Clash of Kings not knowing what was going to happen, and then you have this very obvious Red Wedding thing, and I was like, how did I read that and not cop that like Rob was going to be killed with both of his men at a feast?
Well, specifically with prophecy, like you're right that Mel has visions that don't come to pass. Like she has two different visions of Stannis enacting a siege, and one of them, only one of them can happen, right? So one of them is a possible future, and one of them is not a future at all. Also, the crones at Vaes Dothrak, they give her a prophecy of the stallion who mounts the world. Literally, we think that prophecy is dead, right?
Yeah, because it was, I think even the Undying Ones say that something like these are things that have happened or will happen or may happen or something. They don't phrase it like that, but it's like there's a possibility. There are possible futures. They're not definite futures.
Okay.
So I think that's why one of the ones generally interpreted as being Rhaego when she sees the bronze skin warrior.
Yeah, silver hair, copper skin. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that most likely is Rhaego. And she, I think, in the next chapter interprets it as that, which also makes me suspicious of it, because usually the characters are wrong. I think there was one in the Arya chapter where, for example, she thinks that Jaqen H'ghar is a wizard, and then and maybe Rorj in Spider or demons, he's summoned from hell or something. And then she kind of just asks him immediately, like, you know, did you summon Rorj and Spider from hell? It's like then she just kind of moves beyond that, but it's that kind of thing that usually, at least, I don't know, I wish I had more examples of this, but often I find that when a character, something's explained immediately that's supposed to be cryptic, when the initial explanation is given, it's almost always wrong. I'm pretty sure there's a classic Ned one as well, isn't there, where he's told something that we're like, oh yeah, that's definitely, and he kind of simplifies it and goes, that's probably what's meant, but actually it was something else. So anyway, the Child of Three, right? What got me interested in this is my immediate thought of Child of Three from like my, I guess, science background was like, can you have a child with three parents, right? Can you have two fathers?
Right. I noted that as well. It's an odd phrase, child of three.
Did you go down the rabbit hole I went down and search for that?
No.
Okay, well, I did.
That's why I wanted you on.
Okay, so I found two interesting things. The first sort of IVF child with three parents was in the early 90s, but in 1994 there was a paper talking about two cases of children who had three sets of DNA. Now I thought I had the paper open, but I must unfortunately have closed it. So this came out in 1994, and I can imagine in 1994 that would have been probably had a fair bit of media publicity. And
this book is written in what time?
Well, it was published in 1998.
So you could imagine him working on it in 94, 95, right?
Exactly. And Daenerys, like the first book was published in 96. So 94, 95, I can imagine him hearing the story of a child of three, a child with two parents, two fathers and one mother. Or, well, I presume like the Targaryens didn't have IVF, right? So it's very unlikely to be one father and two mothers. But it is possible. It can happen also quite frequently in salamanders. And what does a salamander remind you of? A dragon.
Oh, is that right?
But now, unfortunately, the study for that where I found at salamanders it was around 2017, so it's quite recent. No, it could have been known for a long time, and that was just like a pretty big study of it.
But it also happened with Freddy Krueger. Isn't the origin story of Freddy Krueger that he has multiple... It's like he has multiple fathers.
Jeez, I'd be lying if I said I remembered. Could be though. So it wouldn't be.
All right, I might cut this out. I'm not a huge Freddy Krueger buff.
I haven't seen it for a long time, but I would know the Simpsons episode where Willy is Freddy Krueger a lot better than I would actual Nightmare on Elm Street. So I'm not the person to ask in that particular one.
So salamanders can have three parents.
Yeah, no, I said frequently, and that was probably not true. It happens. They can have...
How does it happen?
I can send you an article on it if you want. But basically, it's a female can just take extra genomes from different males or different male species even. I don't know if that means different types of salamanders. And then they sort of like, when they're procreating, they reject some genes and keep some other ones.
Oh.
There is some cases of human, not that two humans in that study in 1994, both of them had a lot of like sort of birth defects, a lot of muscle mass reduction and stuff like
mm-hmm.
this. But okay. They also both, even though they had three sets of DNA, two of them were from their father. It was more that there were like two different sets of sperm. As in, yeah, it was the same parent, but not the same sperm cell. Whereas theoretically, it could still happen where you've two different fathers, but I think it's very unlikely. So when I saw Child of Tree, I went down that rabbit hole, and then in my Googling of does Rhaella Targaryen have any affairs, it seems it's quite unlikely, unfortunately. She did love this knight with Jaime in the last two books, Sir Bonifer, surname I've forgotten, and they were apparently were in love with each other. He crowned her the Queen of Love and Beauty, but then he was too lowborn for her. So it seems very unlikely based on the fact that the Mad King basically, you know, locked her away because he felt that him having affairs and being, and maybe she was also cheating on his wife, that so many stillbirths after Rhaegar. So it seems unlikely that there's a threesome going on, for example.
Yeah, okay. So this is interesting to me because I had a guest on a few years ago, and he had a theory about Tyrion. Tyrion's described as having, you know, different colored eyes, and his hair is both kind of platinum and black. And he thinks that maybe what we have are two zygotes that have fused in, you know, so most of the time what happens with twins, identical twins, is that the eggs will split, right?
Yeah.
Giving you two identical babies. But sometimes what will happen is there's actually fraternal twins that, and those... I don't think that they're zygotes at that point, but I think what happens is the zygotes fuse. And this is how he thinks that Tyrion is partially Targaryen or something. So I never really gave that much stock, but if Martin is interested in this kind of thing, it would lend credence to that other theory as well.
Yeah, and honestly, that's more credible than Daenerys, based on there is hints that Mad King and Joanna Lannister had an affair, and then there's hints of Tyrion. Like at the very least, he's got this sort of is it chimeraism or it's chimera anyway, where you've got two different.
Unless she's not. Sorry to interrupt. I'll let you finish that thought.
No, go ahead.
I was just thinking, unless she's not actually the Mad King's daughter. Like maybe she's Rhaegar's daughter. Mm. And we know that Rhaegar is trying all kinds of crazy stuff to enact
this prophecy.
So, I mean, it's possible. I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff at the wall.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Like I have seen numerous things about how Rhaegar could be her father, and the general one is that Lyanna would still be her mother, but there's some baby swapping going on, and Jon Snow is then not the son of Rhaegar and Lyanna.
Ah.
That's the sort of, they're the theories I've seen. There's nothing you read about them that you can massively quickly disprove. Like some of the things that had the time between the events, how it could have happened is.
Okay. Well, I ought to point out, as the philologist in this conversation, that the genitive here can be ambiguous, right? Of can mean she is the daughter of three parents or of three anything.
Yeah, which is what I understood it to mean the first time I read it. And up until last night, what I understood it to mean, right? you're the child of three because there are three heads of the dragon. She's got two siblings. Well, she's got two siblings who lived longer than a year.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's got all these sets of threes with the three treacheries she will know, the three loves she will have.
Uh-huh.
So she's just a child of three. And that's how I always would have interpreted it. I do feel this this having potentially two fathers is incredibly unlikely. But it is
the first thing I thought of when I saw it. You don't hear that phrase very often. And my mind immediately went to, of three parents? Like, what is happening here? So, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that you pointed that out because I was scratching my head about that.
But I think you're right, though. It most likely is just like she's the child of sets of threes, right? But the fact that it comes immediately after Mother of Dragons is a little bit suspicious, isn't it?